This is WSHU's After All Things with daily news and culture from around Long Island Sound. The 2024 autopsy continues and Chris Murphy is weighing in. Did the school cell phone ban actually help Long Island students this year? Plus, we have the latest from WSHU's Digital Citizen. Those stories and more are coming up. I'm Sabrina Garone. U.S. Senator Chris Murphy of Connecticut says it's time for Democrats to be honest about the 2024 election and admit that Biden should have dropped out sooner. WSHU's Molly Ingram has more.
The revelation comes as former First Lady Jill Biden revealed in a new book that, on the night of the debate, she believed her husband had been drugged or suffered a stroke. On CBS's Face the Nation, Murphy said Biden should have gotten out of the race sooner.
I think Democrats do have to be honest about the mistakes that we made in 2024. Obviously, in retrospect, Joe Biden should have stepped away from that race. We should have had an open contest.
Murphy has been floated as a presidential candidate for 2028, but has been noncommittal when asked about it. He's currently traveling around the country to promote his new book, The Crisis of the Common Good. Molly Ingram, WSHU News.
Long Island students are nearing the end of the first school year without their phones by their sides. New York Governor Kathy Hochul is hailing her so-called distraction-free classrooms as a success. WSHU's Desiree DiOrio has more.
The governor's office conducted a survey of 600 educators statewide. About 80% say students were less distracted, more engaged with their peers, and more focused on assignments. Hochul released the survey results this week with students and teachers in New York City.
You don't appreciate this now, but learning simple things like making eye contact and working in groups with each other, those are all skills that for a decade our students in schools have not really developed because they didn't have to.
The state's bell-to-bell phone-free policy for students was enacted in May 2025. Desiree DiOrio, WSHU News.
Connecticut is investing an additional $320 million into its early childhood education endowment this year as a result of the state budget that was signed last week. WSHU's Ebong Udama has more.
Governor Ned Lamont celebrated the investment at Honey Bear Learning Center, a family-run early childhood program in Stratford. He says combined with last year's initial investment of $300 million in the endowment he created, it positions Connecticut as a national leader in developing a sustainable solution to providing access to high-quality early childhood education. And it's good for business.
Businesses are saving money because they often were the ones providing this. Obviously, young families are saving $10,000 to $20,000 a year. I think it's good for the economy.
The endowment will help provide 19,000 no-cost or reduced-cost slots at early childhood programs across the state. Families can start benefiting next month. Those earning up to $100,000 can qualify for no-cost childcare, while those with higher earnings will have their contributions capped at 7% of household income. Ebong Udama, WSH News.
Do you know your rights online? A conversation on that is coming up. Long Island could get its first new hospital in 50 years. NYU Langone Health is proposing a 500-bed facility in Melville. Langone's center of operations would shift from Mineola to Melville, along with its medical school. The plan still needs multiple approvals at the local and state levels. The Groton-based submarine maker Electric Boat has hired nearly twice as many nearby high school seniors as in years past. The company says it's hired about 300 seniors in New London's graduating class. It says it plans 8,000 new hires this year. New Haven has approved plans to add more than 240 new units in the city's New Hallville neighborhood. They'll be spread across three separate buildings, one of them a renovated Winchester rifle factory. New York State officials are reminding residents to leave wildlife alone, especially this time of year. WSHU's Desiree DiOrio explains why.
Deer give birth to fawns in late May and early June. They spend most of those early days just hanging out on the ground. Afon's mother will return to nurse, but the baby deer is mostly left alone. If people approach Afon or pick it up, its mother may delay coming back to nurse. The Department of Environmental Conservation says never pick up or approach a baby deer. The same is true for baby birds. If you encounter a bird or other animal that appears injured, you can call a DEC wildlife rehabilitator. The DEC is tracking bird flu, which is viral in ducks, geese, and shorebirds. You can report sick or dead birds to the DEC using their online form. Desiree DiOrio, WSHU News.
I'm Janice Roman. Welcome to Digital Citizen, a place where we discuss the pillars of digital citizenship and help you feel empowered to engage with the online world. Today, we'll hear from Wayne Unger. He's a Connecticut attorney and law professor at Quinnipiac University. We'll talk about the legal rights and responsibilities that users have online. What are some misconceptions that some people might have about what they're legally allowed to do and what protections they have online?
Sure. So there's a lot to that answer. Many of your rights that you have in the United States apply online, but the one big caveat is that the Constitution, as an example, only applies to public actors or government actors. So when it comes to, for example, your speech on a private platform, such as any social media platform, well, there, your First Amendment rights, for example, do not carry over. So Facebook has no obligation to follow free speech principles in the First Amendment because they are a private actor and the Constitution only applies to public actors. That's one of the largest misconceptions.
Social media platforms often will require users to agree to set terms of service, and there are certain conditions. We've all encountered that pop-up screen that comes up, and it says, I have agreed to terms, and you know, you check that little box. But sometimes people don't go through the whole agreement. So what are some common things that people typically consent to that they should be aware of that they might not have read?
Yes, so a whole nother level of legal protection may exist in the form of contract law. And contract law, of course, being separate from any regulatory law or legislative actions that a state legislature or Congress can take, some of those, for example, may be obligations that the platforms set for themselves via their terms and service. But generally speaking, the terms and service and privacy policies and other types of disclaimers and disclosures like that are very one-sided, right? They're very pro-platform and very, very counter to or contrary to the user's interest. So some of the common provisions that users often consent to that we see across terms and service agreements across all of the platforms are, for example, data sharing. So your user data could be shared for these purposes as they disclose them in their privacy policy or even in the terms of service. The terms of service, for example, could also have guidelines on who owns that data, whether you actually own your data that, say, you post a picture on Facebook, whether you actually own that picture or whether Facebook, when you post that picture, now becomes the lawful owner of that. Copyright clarifications as another example where, again, if you post something, whether that platform then has the legal authority to use whatever you've posted as they see fit.
And now for those listening, those that say, you know, I'm not a lawyer. I'm not an attorney. I don't understand the legal jargon. How do they go about better understanding what they're agreeing to? And then also, what if they don't agree?
Yes. So there's actually a great movement as we speak where we have regulations and legislation being enacted across the country that actually require these type of disclosures, whether they're terms and service or privacy policies, to be written in such a way that an ordinary person could understand them. So they're essentially plain language requirements placed on the platforms. And those have generally been upheld in the courts when they've been challenged, because the goal there is, of course, to provide that notice and provide that level of understanding with all the users to understand, for example, what data is being collected, how is it being shared, where is it being shared, and to whom is it being shared.
What advice would you give someone about how to navigate the digital world? What is one thing that they can do to better protect themselves online?
My recommendation is to always start with whatever the settings are with whatever platform we're talking about, and look through those settings and enable the settings that provide you the strongest level of protections. So that could be, for example, data privacy sharing restrictions. That could be data deletion after a certain time frame versus having them keep your data forever. And do that on all of your devices, all of the platforms, any online account that you have, because number one, you might have legal protections that require the platform to give that to you, so you should exercise those legal rights. And number two, it's also, again, in your best interest. Recently, 23andMe filed for bankruptcy. Now, the data that they have, that they've collected for years, that genetic data, is an asset that will be sold in bankruptcy. Because the reason why you file bankruptcy is because your creditors, right? You can't pay your creditors. So in order to pay off their creditors in the bankruptcy proceedings, they're going to sell their assets to liquidate really the company and what they have to pay back their creditors. That said, if you have used, for example, 23andMe and you have data on 23andMe, this is one of those, will you actually have a legal right to ask for the deletion of that data? And I strongly recommend that users do, because number one, genetic data is extremely valuable and many buyers will be lining up at the table to buy that data from the bankruptcy of 23andMe. And because it's an asset, it's going to be sold. All of that is to say, exercise the settings that you have on whatever platform, on whatever device, on whatever system that you are dealing with, exercise all of the settings that you possibly can to protect yourself. Yes, it's tedious in the beginning, but it protects you in the long run.
To hear the full interview, go to WSHU.org or download the WSHU app. Thanks for listening. I'm Janice Roman.
Sometimes you hear something on WSHU that stays with you all day, a story that changes your perspective, a quiet moment of reflection, a piece of music you didn't know you needed. That's why this station matters. WSHU, news you trust, music you love. Listen on the radio, online, on our free app, and of course, here on the After All Things podcast. Thanks for being with me today. I'm Sabrina Garone. Have a great rest of your day, and I'll speak with you tomorrow.